So, we've got a lot to dig into today. You've brought us data from a whole bunch of experimental runs, right?
Yeah, exactly. Several different ones. Each of them, well, they all track these, particle interactions over time.
Particle interactions, okay. And so the data you've given us is from four distinct configurations.
Right. We've got the, well, we ran adaptive probabilistic twice.
Okay.
And then there's baseline, energy conservation, and full features.
Okay, so four different setups. Adaptive probabilistic, run twice.
Yeah.
Baseline, energy conservation, and full features.
Exactly.
All right, so what's our what are we trying to figure out here?
I think the big question is, well, how did these different configurations, these different choices we made in setting up the experiment, how did they impact how the whole system evolved? And
Interesting.
in particular, we're looking for those, those aha moments, like where did things get more complex? Where did they become more stable?
Okay, and we're not just working with some vague ideas here. You sent over some really detailed logs.
Oh, yeah. Lots of numbers to crunch.
Yeah. So tell me, what are we actually looking at in these logs?
So for each timestamp, we've got a count of different types of particles,
Okay.
like the basic ones, positive, negative, neutral. But then we've also got, depending on the run, things like high energy particles, quantum particles. We've got standard particles, composite particles.
Okay.
And if we were using the adaptive approach, we've got those adaptive particles in there too.
Got it. So it's like a whole zoo of particles.
Yeah, kind of. And then on top of that, we're tracking the total number of particles, how many interactions happened, the average knowledge of the system. We've got stuff about complexity, like the average and maximum complexity, and even something called the complexity index.
Complexity index.
And then to see how the particles were grouped up, we've got cluster analysis metrics, like how many clusters were there, how big were they on average, was their largest cluster, and how stable were those clusters over time. And last but not least, we even got system entropy.
System entropy. All right, that's a lot to keep track of, but I think we can handle it.
I think so too.
All right, so let's start with that first run of the adaptive probabilistic setup. What was going on at the very beginning at timestamp one?
Okay, so initially, it's actually kind of, a pretty balanced picture. You've got a fairly even mix of positive, negative, and neutral particles. Not too many of the composite or adaptive particles yet.
Okay.
And both the average knowledge and complexity, they're pretty low. Not much going on, really.
So it's like things are just kind of starting to simmer.
Exactly. But then, well, around timestamp 51, things start to get a little more interesting.
What happens?
That's when we see this huge increase in those composite particles. Yeah, and it seems like that's kind of the catalyst for a lot of the changes we see. At the same time as that composite particle surge, there's also this big jump in the total number of interactions happening. And the average complexity goes way up, too.
It's like those composite particles are stirring things up.
Right. It's really interesting to see. And then on top of that, the cluster stability hits 1.0.
So that means what? The clusters were sticking together really well.
Yeah, perfect stability. Like once those clusters formed, they pretty much stayed put.
Interesting. So what happens after that? Does the system, I don't know, does it continue to get crazier or?
No, actually, from timestamp 101 onwards, things start to chill out. The total particle count settles at 150, and the composite particles are still the dominant type. The average knowledge of the system goes way up. In fact, the logs show it as infinite at that point. Yeah, it's kind of a, well, an interesting result. And then those clusters stay super stable. We've got 11 of them, all about the same size. And the system entropy, which you can think of as a measure of disorder, it's just fluctuating a little bit, but not much.
So it's like the system has found its groove.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so that was the first run of adaptive probabilistic. What about the second one? Was it pretty much the same story?
It's pretty similar, yeah. The initial mix of particles is a little different, but by that midpoint, around timestamp 51, we again see that big increase in composite particles and lots of interactions happening.
Okay, same pattern.
Yeah, and complexity also increases quite a bit. The exact numbers are a little different from the first run, but the trend is the same.
And then does the system stabilize again?
Exactly. So later on, we've got the same total particle count of 150, mostly composite particles, that infinite average knowledge. But this time, instead of 11 stable clusters, we end up with 13. But those clusters are still perfectly stable, and the system entropy is just fluctuating a little bit.
So with adaptive probabilistic, whether it's the first or second run, it seems like we're seeing this consistent pattern, a lot of composite particles, and the system ends up with stable clusters.
That's exactly it. It's a pretty robust outcome, even with those slight variations in the starting conditions.
Okay. Now, let's switch gears a bit and talk about the baseline configuration. What was different about that one?
Well, with the baseline, we weren't using any adaptive particles. And right off the bat, the total particle count is lower. It starts at just 51.
Okay, so fewer particles to begin with, and no adaptive particles.
Right, and initially there were no composite particles either.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, both the number of interactions and the average knowledge of the system, they're also lower compared to those adaptive probabilistic runs.
So it's like things are starting off a lot slower.
Yeah, it's definitely more quiet at the beginning.
Okay, but then what happens?
Well, here's the interesting part. Around that same timestamp 51, something very familiar happens. The total number of particles suddenly doubles to 100, and a bunch of composite particles pop up out of nowhere.
Really?
Uh-huh. And just like before, interactions and complexity go through the roof, and we end up with a bunch of stable clusters 8 this time.
Wow, so even without those adaptive particles in the mix, the system still seems to find its way to these composite particles and stable clusters.
Exactly. And this is why this baseline run is so intriguing. It's like the system is, you know, it's somehow driven towards this kind of organization, even when you started off in a much simpler state.
I see what you mean. So even though things are a lot slower at the beginning, the baseline eventually catches up and shows that same kind of pattern.
Yeah. And then in the later stages, we see that familiar stabilization again. The particle counts stay steady. The cluster characteristics remain the same. Average knowledge shoots up to infinity, and the system entropy just has some minor fluctuations.
Okay, so it's like the baseline is kind of a slower version of the same story.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
All right, now on to energy conservation. What was the deal with that one?
With energy conservation, we put a cap on the total number of particles. It was limited to 80. And again, no adaptive particles were included in this setup.
Okay, so we're already seeing some constraints here.
Yeah.
Limited particles, no adaptive particles.
Exactly. And not surprisingly, this one starts off with the fewest particles, only 37, and also the fewest initial interactions. It's like we're really putting the brakes on the system from the get-go.
And what does that do to the overall picture?
Well, it's interesting. By timestamp 51, even though the total particle count is limited, those composite particles still manage to become the dominant type. They actually make up more than half of the total 80 particles.
Wow, they really seem to be resilient, huh?
They do. And even with those restrictions, complexity still goes up significantly, and we get 9 stable clusters.
So even with a cap on the total number of particles, we still see those composite particles ticking over and leading to stable clusters.
Exactly. It's like they're a key ingredient in this recipe for complexity and stability.
Okay. And last but not least, we have the full features configuration. What was special about this one?
Full features. This was the one where we went all out. We had every type of particle in there right from the start. Positive, negative, neutral, high energy, quantum, standard, composite, and even the adaptive particles were included.
So it's like throwing everything in the pot and seeing what happens.
Exactly. And this time, the total number of particles goes up to 120.
A lot going on in that system.
Yeah. So with all those different particles interacting from the very beginning, it's interesting to see that even by timestamp 51, we still see a significant increase in those composite particles. And the average complexity is pretty high as well.
Okay, so even with all those other options available, those composite particles still seem to be playing a crucial role.
They do. And in this run, we end up with 7 stable clusters.
Okay.
Right. And then, just like in all the other runs, those later stages show the composite particles as the dominant type, the average knowledge reaches infinity, and those 7 clusters stay stable.
Interesting. So after looking at all these different configurations, adaptive probabilistic twice, baseline, energy conservation, and full features, what's the main thing that stands out to you?
You know, what really jumps out is that no matter how we set up the experiment, there's this really consistent trend where the rise of composite particles is connected to a big jump in complexity and the formation of stable clusters.
Mm.
It's like they're a key ingredient in this recipe for complexity and stability.
That's fascinating. So I guess the question for all of you listening is, what could these composite particles represent in a real world system?
Yeah. What kind of things in the world around us act like these composite particles, pulling everything together and leading to more complex, stable structures?
Right. And it's also worth thinking about how those different starting conditions, you know, all those different ways we set up the experiments, how did they influence the path the system took to reach stability?
Because even though some of the end results had similar features, those early stages were quite different depending on those initial choices. That's something to ponder, for sure.
This is all really thought-provoking. It seems like even with these relatively simple rules governing how particles interact, we can get some incredibly intricate and stable systems emerging.
Absolutely. And this data you've given us, it's a really compelling snapshot of that journey from initial chaos to organized complexity. There's definitely a lot more to explore here.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for taking us on this deep dive.
It's been my pleasure.